Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
This week, and every week, we'll start the show with a tip of the week. Then this week's low-tech item is about reading and learning music to play. Our focus item will be about Band in a Box, which is a powerful program for creating and arranging music. And our high-tech item will be about playing recorded and/or broadcast music from your computer. This week's tip of the week is selecting a musical instrument that you're more likely to be able to play, rather than one that's more likely to give you troubles. Pete's quite a musician. He's a little bit modest. We're on our 15th show, and he hasn't told you yet, but he wrote the theme song, and he played it. So you're hearing Pete playing the piano every week on this show. His favorite instrument is the piano, but he also plays the flute, the guitar, the didgeridoo.
I hope you weren't going to mention that.
Yeah, sometimes the accordion, and we've got quite a collection of instruments. But even Pete, being a really good musician, has had some, shall we say, interesting and less successful attempts at learning a new instrument. One that comes to mind is the hammered dulcimer.
That was pretty difficult to learn. I mean, generally, I don't have a hard time learning a new musical instrument. Once you've learned a few, it's easier to pick up another one. But the hammered dulcimer I found particularly difficult. And I think the reason was because I wasn't really connected to the instrument. If you're not familiar with a hammered dulcimer, it basically has a bunch of strings stretched across a wooden frame. It sort of looks like the inside of a piano. And then you hit these strings with little hammers or wooden sticks that you hold in your hands. And, you know, what I found was a lot of sighted people, they look at the markings on the bridge to know where to hit the strings. But, you know, I couldn't feel the strings or know where they are. When you're playing a piano, you're really just attached to the instrument. You know where all the strings are. Or if you're playing a saxophone or something, you know where all the keys are. In fact, your fingers remain on the keys. So that was a little bit difficult. I'm sure I could have learned it if I put in more effort, but I eventually just said there are more fun things to do in life.
So instead, we bought ourselves a string bass. It had always been Pete's dream. I swear that's why he got married at all in the first place, to have somebody else in the house who would play string bass while he played piano. So one day we bought ourselves a string bass, which I couldn't play because I was suffering from carpal tunnel and it hurt too bad. And so Pete tried to play the string bass.
I figured, what the heck? Someone in the family ought to. The kids were still a little bit too young to reach the size of the instrument. And after playing for a while, I noticed that I developed such large calluses on my fingers that I had a difficulty reading Braille and seeing my computer terminal that was in Braille at work. And so I claimed that I'm the first person to go blind from playing the bass.
So what the heck? Then we bought a saxophone. Well, we didn't buy a saxophone. We learned that lesson. We rented a saxophone. And how did that go?
The saxophone? I don't remember. It was just too much of a pain to put together. I mean, I like being able to just sit down at a piano and play, although it's not all that portable.
So in case you couldn't figure out, you know, what kind of some of these main themes were, here's some general guidelines if you're thinking about starting to play an instrument. First of all, it's a lot easier if you're connected to the instrument. So with the piano, you know, you've got your hands on the keys and you can feel where the two black notes are together and the three black notes are together. And you can really orient yourself quite easily, as opposed to something like a hammered dulcimer or timpani, heaven help you. You know, something like a flute, you can feel where the keys are. The individual valves and things are. So that's a lot easier if you're visually impaired to play an instrument that you're connected to. It's also a lot easier to read the music if you, say, just got low vision, or if you're trying to even read Braille music, if you only have to read one or two notes at a time. So playing a melody instrument, such as a saxophone or a violin, is a lot easier to read the music than if you're playing something where you can play many, many notes at a time, such as a piano or a harp or a guitar. And of course, the easiest thing to play is the radio. That's what I usually play.
And it's very easy to keep in tune.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about reading music and actually playing music. Depending on your level of visual loss, you can read music in regular print, in large print, or in Braille. They actually make Braille music. Can you talk about that a little?
I learned Braille music a little bit when I was a child. I never really used a whole lot of it. It's a little bit difficult because regular music is on the staff lines and arranged vertically, but Braille music, if you think of it, most of it has to be arranged horizontally across the page. That's how you write Braille, and that's how it lays out. So it's a little bit more complex to understand. If you're interested in Braille music, by the way, I should point out that the National Library Service, the NLS, which we've talked about in many of our previous shows, in addition to lending you books and periodicals and downloads of material like that, they will also send you Braille music upon request. And they have quite a library.
And of course, with a one-handed instrument like a trumpet, you can read the Braille music with one hand and play the trumpet with the other if you're really coordinated.
That's right.
I don't think I'd want to start there.
That's right.
So another tip is some genres are easier to play if you've got limited vision. For example, folk music or jazz, you really only have to learn a fairly short tune, maybe 30 seconds to a minute, and then you can repeat it over and over and over or improvise around it or whatever and keep playing for many, many minutes even though you've only learned a 30-second to one-minute tune. And so that's really makes your life a lot easier if it's difficult for you to read the music.
Right. In fact, as a child, I was, like many young people are, of course, the direction is to point them in classical music and playing piano and playing Bach and Beethoven, Mozart and stuff like that. And what I found difficult was I could see a little bit at the time if I held my nose right up to the music, but I couldn't play and read at the same time. So generally, I had to read a measure and then play a measure, read a measure, memorize it, play a measure. And by the time I memorized the tune, I was kind of sick of it. And of course, at that point, that was the time when you really had to start working on the tune as an artistic piece. And so I found it very difficult. And later on in life, I was exposed to jazz, and I started learning more about jazz, and I found that a lot more comfortable, a lot easier to learn.
So with your limited vision as a youth, you had a special music stand you were telling me about?
Oh, I did. This was interesting. This was actually a wooden attachment that screwed onto the back of our spinet piano, and it essentially just moved a music stand closer to your face, so I could sit there with this thing very close to my face. It made the piano look kind of awkward. It was a little awkward to play and still read at the same time. But that is an option for some people. I actually had forgotten about this, but I actually had a large print music paper that I was able to obtain at the time, and I'm sure you can now. So if you wanted to write your own music and play your own music, you didn't have to use the normal size staves.
Well, and of course, if you can only find the sheet music for a piece that you'd like to learn and like to play in regular print, most copiers these days have enlarging facilities, and you can magnify the image however big you want. So if you can't read the normal size sheet music, you can just magnify it on a copier and create your own large print music that way. Of course, right. You might need bigger paper, but at least you can read what's on it.
You are listening to Viewpoint, 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 Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic is Band in a Box. That's actually what the product is called, Band in a Box. And you'll appreciate by the end of this segment why it's called that. It'll sound like you have an entire band playing just coming out of this package of software. It's a powerful program for creating and also for arranging music. The basic concept is to first use the computer keyboard to type in the chords to a song, then enter the melody notes either using the computer keyboard or by playing on a MIDI device such as an electronic piano that's attached to the computer. Once that's done, you can select from hundreds of musical styles and instruments to have Band in a Box automatically generate a full arrangement, and it can add any instrument you want, either playing the melody that you've inserted or it'll play harmonies or rhythm or whatever. And we'll be walking you through a series of steps demonstrating how it can do many of these things, including also transposing music, changing the tempo, changing the actual style of the music totally from, you know, A to Z. You'd never recognize it. And even, and this is really kind of fun, Band in a Box can generate its own tunes from scratch. So if you're interested, you can purchase it and get much more information than we could possibly provide from PG Music. That's www.pgmusic.com. Depending on the version you want, a first-time purchase will range from about $129 to about $669. But they're nice. If you buy one version and then you want to upgrade, the upgrades are less expensive. Now, of course, Pete needs specialty scripts from Jaws in order to work with Band in a Box. It's got a pretty visual interface, but being a nice guy, he's written all these scripts and posted them on the web on our personal website.
Well, in conjunction with some other developers, I might point out.
So that anybody who knows about it can get hold of these Jaws scripts and use them to run Band in a Box. And that's available at www.torpy.info/accesstools.htm. Or you can just go to www.torpy.info and there's a link there to the accessibility tools section. I guess we've never told you, but we spell our name T as in tomato, O-R-P as in potato, E-Y.
So what you're hearing here is a song that I wrote called Green Vista that was actually put together primarily with Band in a Box. And what it illustrates is you can hear the drums and the bass in the background. I didn't do any of that. I basically wrote the melody and the chords, and then I had Band in a Box generate the drum and the bass parts, and then I played along with it. So it's just as if I had my own band in the background. So Band in a Box can be used for things like practicing, as if you had your other band member. Many professional bands will use the Band in a Box tracks as backing tracks. So they will come in and play like lead piano or lead saxophone and then have something like a Band in a Box recording in the background. So that's one of the more sophisticated features of Band in a Box. But let me take you through a step at a time some of the features of Band in a Box and how they're used. So the first thing we're going to do is to put together a simple tune that you're familiar with, like Mary Had a Little Lamb. So let's try that. The first thing we need to do is to enter the chords into Band in a Box. We hit the home key to get to beginning, measure one, bar one.
One, one, C.
And you can hear Jaws announces that, and there's already a C placed in measure one, bar one. And then we arrow through the measures and type in the name of the appropriate chord.
One, two, one, two. Three, three, one.
Okay, at measure three, bar one, we want a G.
G, three, four, one.
And then measure four, bar one, we want a C.
C, four, five, five, six, six, seven, G.
Back to a G.
Seven, eight, one,
and
C.
Ending on a C. We'll hit the home key to get to the beginning of the song again.
One, one, C.
And then the space bar plays what we typed in, and we'll see if those chords were appropriate. Mary had a little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. So I think we have the chords about right there. And now I don't want to keep singing along with the song, but we actually need to put in the melody from Band in a Box. So let's do that. And now it's time to put in the melody notes. So we do this by turning on the Band in a Box play along wizard. And that's done by hitting Alt P to get to the play menu.
Alt P, menu, play menu.
And then arrowing up to the play along wizard.
Wizard uses Wizard play along feature.
And hitting enter.
Enter. Menu.
And now we have turned on the Wizard play along feature, which means we can use the bottom two rows of the keyboard to type, and those will play notes as we record. Let's get to the beginning of the song with home again.
One, one.
We're at the beginning. And if I hit R, that will start the recording process.
R, record melody.
It asks if I want to record the melody. I'll hit enter, and that will start the process.
Enter, band. B, C, V, B, 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 V, 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 B, M, M, B, C, V, B, 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 V, V, B, V, C. 26 melody notes recorded. OK, keep take button. Enter.
And it asked if I want to keep that take of the recording. I hit enter, we did, and the notes have been recorded. You could hear as I typed in the notes, Jaws was repeating the keys that I typed in. You can turn that on or off as you like. I just kept it on so you could hear what I was doing. Now we can play back what we recorded. So that was the kind of inexpensive way to enter notes into Band in the Box. You can also enter notes very easily if you had a MIDI keyboard hooked up to your computer and just play the notes on your MIDI keyboard and have them entered into Band in the Box.
So this is a piano keyboard as opposed to a computer keyboard.
Right. Also, I performed another little cheat there. You can see I changed the instrument. So this is one of the other features of Band in the Box. And let me give an example of changing to yet another instrument. There are lots of instruments you can use. I can hit Alt plus Shift plus P to go to the patches and change the instrument.
Alt P, Synth W window, instrument, 89 pad bell.
So that's a bell, and if I arrow up, I'll see some other instruments.
Instrument, 11 music box.
But that key may not be a good key for our singer to sing in, so we can also use Band in the Box to transpose the entire song into another key. And if I want to transpose the song, I can hit Ctrl-Alt-7.
Alt-Ctrl-7. Leaving menus. Type in a number. Edit.
And I'm going to type in a 5.
5. Enter.
And that should transpose the song up 5 semitones. And so let's hear what that sounds like. And you can hear that the whole song has been transposed up a few steps if you want to sing the song a little bit higher. Now, one of the other neat things you can do with Band in a Box is to just through using a couple of the menu commands to quickly change to a different style. So say you'd like to play it in a country style or a bossa nova style or, well, let's see what we come up with.
Ctrl-F9. Select style prototype style Ryblu1.
So they're going to give different styles for us to choose here, and we can arrow down and select different styles. Here is a classical style in the style of Bach. And just to show you that Band in the Box isn't such a staid program, it can actually do some really kind of funky things. It will do its own improvisations. So let's give that a shot. And finally, the really interesting thing about Band in a Box is, I hope it doesn't put all these music composers out of business, but it will actually compose its own music, generate the chords and the melody, and then you can print these out to a lead sheet for your band. And actually, these are all, I think you're able to use them without any copyright restrictions. So here's an example of a tune Band in a Box is making up. We can either get into the melody maker to generate a melody and chords or hit Shift F5 to quickly get there.
Shift F5. Generate chords and or melody. Enter.
So you can see Band in the Box is pretty interesting. It sounds like some elevator music there. You can see, and maybe you can generate lots of that. So Band in the Box is a very sophisticated program with lots of options. We only highlighted a few of them. But I make a fair amount of use of Band in the Box to learn new tunes. And because I can't easily read music or access musical things, what I do is use Band in the Box to learn these tunes. Because using the JAWS cursor, I can arrow through and listen to the chords, so I know what chords are in the tune. And then you can actually arrow through a melody note at a time to learn the melody. And then I can play along with these songs until I have it right. There are many Band in the Box formatted songs on the web. If you do a search for BIAB, B-I-A-B, Band in a Box, you can look for songs that people have already put into this format and then download them and learn your tunes or just play them this way.
So turning now to this week's high-tech item, rather than playing the music yourself, we'll be talking about a kind of nifty mechanism for playing recorded and or broadcast music from your computer. We use a squeeze box that's made by Logitech, but there are other similar devices such as the Streamium from Philips and the SoundBridge from Roku. We use the version that hooks up to our main household stereo so we can pipe it through the various rooms. But these companies, as well as others, also make standalone units.
So I first learned about the squeeze box several years ago from another blind friend of mine that used this squeeze box. And it's interesting. It's a little device that connects to the back of your stereo player into the audio ports and then wirelessly plays through the internet, through your router or your PC. It also comes with a remote. And this person who recommended it to me, one of his friends was telling him, why did you get that? It's such a horrible thing for the blind. You can't use the remote. You can't see the display that's connected to your stereo. And he said, oh, but it comes with a software program that you can run on your computer and run all of the functions of the squeeze box from your computer. And that's basically all we've been listening to for the past several years. We listen to internet radio stations, songs that we've burned to our hard disk on our computer, and it's been a very, very nice unit.
Right, and basically Pete runs it off the computer interface using his adaptive software on the computer so that he can work with the computer interface. And when I want to use it, I run it off this little teeny handheld remote. I just stand there in front of the physical squeeze box, which is maybe the size of two decks of cards, and it's just plugged into the back of our stereo. So I use it from the remote, which has all the same features as the computer interface. And then while it's playing, it'll display on the actual unit itself either the name of the radio station, or it'll tell you sometimes the artist and the name of the tune and give you all sorts of information that you might not get from a regular radio station.
And it'll also tell you that information on the computer interface so I can also see that information. What's great is it gives you access to different kinds of music all around the world anytime. So we had a friend over from Turkey a few years ago, and before he came in the house, I pulled up a radio station from Turkey, and we were playing it in the background. And he was sitting there, we were chatting with him for about a half an hour, and he finally looked up and he said, Pete, they're talking Turkish. So let's hear a little demonstration of how the software program running on your computer can be used with JAWS to control the squeeze box's functions. With the squeeze box software running on your PC and the squeeze box interface open, you'll have access to many of the controls that are available on the handheld remote. So let's arrow down the interface and see what's available to us.
Previous button.
The first button is the previous button that plays the previous song in a sequence.
Play button.
The play button means when you press that, it will start to play the squeeze box. So if I hit a space while I'm on the play button,
space,
it'll start playing the music on my stereo system.
Pause button.
And it turns into a pause button. And if I hit space bar on the pause button,
space,
it will stop the squeeze box from playing.
Play button.
And turn it back into a play button. If I arrow down again,
next button,
I get to the next button that will play the next song in the sequence.
Repeat off button.
This button is a toggle that will enable me to repeat songs or not repeat songs or albums.
Shuffle, shuffle by song button.
Shuffle, again, this is another option that's available on many MP3 players also, where you can just play the songs on an album in sequence, or you can play them in a random order. Again, by hitting spacebar, you can toggle this button on and off.
Softer button.
And then there's a button for playing the squeeze box softer, decreasing the volume.
Louder button.
Louder. If you keep on hitting space on this button, it'll play louder and louder.
Power on button.
And then there's a power on and off button. Now let's see what kind of things are available on the squeeze box. Again, if I arrow down some of the options that are available.
My music on mouse over.
I'll see there's an option for My Music. This is music that you have stored on your computer, that you have maybe ripped the CDs onto your computer's hard disk. If I arrow down again,
Link Graphic Artists on Mouse Over Link.
This link gives me access to the different artists that I've saved on my PC's hard disk.
Link Graphic Albums on Mouse Over Link.
If I hit enter on this link, it will give me access to all the albums that I've saved on my computer's hard disk.
Link Graphic Genres on Mouse Over Link.
The Genres link gives me access to choose music by the particular genre or type of music.
Playlists on Mouse Over.
There's a link here for setting up different playlists, so you can select what sequence you want to play your music in. And then we get into some more interesting options.
Internet Radio on Mouse Over.
There's another link here for internet radio. So if I hit this link, I'll get into a whole list of different internet radio stations that are available from around the world.
Link Graphic Pandora on Mouse Over Link.
This link gives me access to Pandora. Then there's also a link here for favorites. So once you find some nice internet radio station that you like or some music someplace that you like, you can actually put this as a favorite. This is sort of like the buttons on your car stereo that allow you to pre-select stations, so you don't have to search for these stations all over again. I have several favorites saved on our squeeze box, including the following.
Visited Link Graphic Vocal Jazz, the best jazz vocalists from yesterday and today on Mouse Over Visited Link.
So this is one of the radio I.O. stations that gives me jazz from years gone past. You can also obtain commercial radio stations from around the world. So, for example, I have another favorite set as the next one.
Link Graphic WKCR-FM New York, New York on Mouse Over Link.
So that's a New York City radio station. We live in Rochester, New York, and certainly we couldn't get reception from New York City, but this is a way we can listen to stations in New York, and we listen to stations from all over the world. If you're interested in purchasing a squeeze box, what I would do is look on Amazon for squeeze box, SQUEEZEBOX, all one word. It runs around $300.
That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about low vision support groups, summer camps, other organizations, and programs for the visually impaired. Another form of accessible reading material, in this particular case, it'll be the Bookport and where to get materials for it. Portable PDAs, or personal digital assistants. And we'll also be reviewing briefly a book on seeing without vision that's recently come out and we thought was interesting. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at area code 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.